We're going to start by reading the lesson for today. It's from Luke 10, and these are the words that are said. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of them to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like
lambs among wolves.
Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a town and are
welcome,
eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are
not welcome,
go into the streets and say, 'Even the
dust
of your own town we will wipe
off our feet
as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town." Now, something that most of you know, I think, is that one of the most talked about and one of the most remembered baseball legends of all times is Babe Ruth. For devoted baseball fans, there's literally magic in that name. In his 22 big league seasons, he hit 714 home runs and finished his career with a lifetime batting average of .342. He began his career as a pitcher and is remembered for pitching 29 and two-thirds scoreless innings for the Boston Red Sox in World Series games. With all of these tremendous statistics, it's seldom mentioned that Babe Ruth also struck out. He struck out 1,330 times. Now, 1,330 times is not the record. Another great baseball legend, Reggie Jackson, holds that record with 2,597. And even the great Mickey Mantle had 1,710 strikeouts in his career. So the fact that Babe Ruth went down swinging 1,330 times, I think, is a very significant statistic. Why is that significant? Because to a chronic bungler like myself, to someone who strikes out in life as much as I do, to someone who makes all kinds of mistakes like I do, it is very comforting to know that even Babe Ruth, one of the greatest home run hitters in all of history, fanned the breeze 1,330 times, that he knew how to fail. And I believe that it is also very significant to note that Jesus was concerned enough about his disciples. He was concerned about their, that they understood failure in their lives. He was so concerned about that, that he spoke to these disciples very specifically about it. In Luke's gospel that we just read, Jesus sends his disciples out into the world with some very specific instructions. And one of them is this: when you enter a town and are not welcomed, that is when you are trying to engage in ministry with people and you fail. When you try to engage in ministry with people and they won't listen to you at all. When you try to engage in ministry with people and they push you out. When that happens, Jesus says, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town we will wipe from our feet as a warning to you, as a protest against you. We will simply brush the dust off our feet and move on in ministry. What Jesus was trying to do was he was trying to protect the disciples in advance from worrying about their failures. He knew that they would be anxious. They would even feel some shame in their lives when they struck out. He knew that they would feel terrible when they did not have success. So even before they went up to the plate for the first time by themselves, he said, don't fret over your failures. You're certainly going to have them. You're going to have lots of failures in your life. But Jesus says, but just keep on keeping on. Now, to me, that is a beautifully freeing word, simply because I often fail. I often fail in my life, and I often and have often failed in my ministry. It is good to know that Jesus anticipates my failures. He expects my failures. He knows that not everybody's going to be excited about the message and mission of Christ. Not everyone is going to like the way that I have done things in my ministry through the years. Yet through his love and forgiveness, he has already issued instructions on what to do after the third strike. Now, once the Yankees played the crushed Cardinals in four straight games in World Championship play, the year was 1928. Babe Ruth had been the star of that series, hitting three home runs in the final game alone. Now, the Yankee train was on its way back to New York City, and along the route, thousands upon thousands of people turned out to cheer the champions. And about 2 a.m. one morning, they paused to change engines in a small town in Illinois. And the usual crowd was on hand with that usual cheer, "We want Babe! We want Babe!" Well, he came to the observation deck of the train dressed in his pajamas, and he waved his big, hairy hand to the crowd. And they all went wild. Then Babe called for three cheers for the Yankees, and the crowd obeyed. Then he called for three cheers for Al Smith, who was running for the presidency of the United States at that time, and again, the crowd obeyed. And then someone called out, "How about three cheers for the Cardinals, the team that they had just defeated?" And the Babe obliged by saying, let's say three cheers for the Cardinals. However, before his adoring fans could do that, he waved his hand. He said, "No, wait. Stop," he said. He waved the people for silence, and he said, "No, they quit. No, they quit." There was no shame in striking out. Babe Ruth had done that 1,330 times. The only real shame was if you never really went again to the plate. And I need to remember that too in my life. It helps me in my life when I recall that Jesus had many times of failure where people ran him out of town. It helps me when I realize that the disciples went out and they had many times when people did not receive their ministry. It helps me when I realize that Paul and Barnabas failed many times. And it helps me when I realize that even baseball legends, even great and wonderful people, often fail. In fact, what I think we need to be very skeptical of today is anyone or any person, whether it be a politician or an athlete or a business person or a pastor or a parent or anyone who claims that they never fail, or who claim that they never, ever make a mistake, or people who say, "I never have to apologize for anything." Truth is that failure comes as no surprise to God. The important thing is to recognize this and to stand in there with all of these failures ready for our next time at the plate. You know, it's easy, however, to allow this fear of failure, which each and every one of us share, to sometimes cause us to give up, to cause us to be really afraid of venturing out in our faith. And I think this is one of the reasons why so many people today are very reluctant to get involved in projects or initiatives where there is a risk of controversy or a risk of failure involved. And I've seen that transition as a pastor through the years, and I've seen it in communities where now it's like, "I don't want to be the head of anything. I don't want to head up any committee. I don't want to head up anything in the town. I don't want to be the president or chairman of anything anymore. Just give me a little bit of an assignment, but don't ask me to be the head where I might be responsible for what's happening." What's happened is a lot of people would like to just simply remain neutral. They want to allow other people to lead. They want other people to stick their necks out, so that if something does fail, then they can conveniently blame it all on someone else. And there are an awful lot of people that love other people to lead, and then they can be very critical because, well, I didn't do that. Somebody else did that. So today I think we need to thank God for all those people throughout history and all those people throughout the history of Christ's church who have been willing to take risks, those people who have been willing to stick their necks out. In the church, most church buildings such as this one would have never been built. Most mission work and new ministries would have never been started. Most vision and mission focuses for the future, like you have here at Calvary, would have never happened if it hadn't been for the leaders and for the people in the congregation who are willing to venture out in their faith in Jesus Christ. And for those leaders and for those people who, even when they failed, even when they had times that they felt like they wanted to give up, kept on keeping on. The great Christian leader and educator, Henrietta Mears, used to say, "Failure is not a sin. Faithlessness is." In other words, it is not a sin to venture out in faith and fail for the sake of Jesus Christ. Yet it is a sin not to try. In fact, isn't that what the brief order for confession and forgiveness says? We ask for forgiveness for the things left undone. I've had an awful lot of people who say, "I haven't done anything wrong in my life. I've been pure. I've done everything." But have you done anything at all? Have you made a risk to try to do something for the sake of Jesus Christ? Our confession in our hymnal says that's a sin. A sin to simply sit on the sidelines. A sin not to do anything at all. The reality is that God calls us to live our faith each and every day. As Babe Ruth shows us, there's no shame whatsoever in striking out. The only shame is in never going to the plate again. I went to a John Maxwell conference many years ago. John Maxwell is a very well-known church consultant. He's worked with businesses, some of the major businesses in our country. He does a lot with management and all kinds of things. And he's a pastor, and he's done a lot of stuff with churches. And the conference that I went to, he had just written a book, and I have that book on my shelf. And the conference was after this book. It was named after this book. And the book that he wrote is called Failing Forward. Failing Forward. John Maxwell says that failure is a good thing in each one of our lives, as long as we fail forward, as long as we learn from our miscues, as long as then we might be open to new ideas, as long as we might be open then to corrections, which we all need, and as long as we then are open to wisdom from others. In fact, John Maxwell would say, going through failure and learning and failing forward is an ultimate sign of strength. I had an executive coach for about 10 years through the Alban Institute out east, and he's one who written books, he studied churches, he studied pastors, he did whatever else, and he always said, it's only when a person fails, only when maybe you're in a crisis in your life of something that didn't go right. And he says it's only as an organization, any kind of an organization or a business, when they go through some kind of a crisis, and he said it's certainly true of a church, that it's only then that people or organizations are willing to change in positive ways. He says that failure can be a gift, because what can happen is it leads us to humility. As long as everything's going well, why would I want to change? As long as everything's going well, I don't have to change anything about myself. As long as everything's going well, why do I need to change an organization? When we go through a crisis, it brings us to humility. It also says, I need help. I need some help. I can't do it all by myself. And it's only at those times that organizations, churches, individuals, pastors, whoever it might be, are willing to say, maybe I need to make some changes in my life. I need to do something brand new. Charlie Brown in a Peanuts cartoon captures the feelings of being a failure or being shamed in our lives, of being inadequate, those kinds of feelings that I know I often have in my life. Lucy, of course, plays that psychologist, of course, to Charlie Brown. Remember Lucy sitting at her little booth, and on the banner over it says 5 cents, you know, remember that little thing? So Lucy says to Charlie, "You, Charlie Brown, are a foul ball in the line drive of life. You're a shadow of your own goalposts. You are a miscue. You have dropped a rod and reel in the lake of life. You are a missed free throw, a shanked nine iron, a called third strike. Do you understand, Charlie Brown? Have I made myself perfectly clear?" People sometimes make it pretty clear to us, don't they? Well, for any of you here today, for any of us here today who've experienced that kind of failure, for any of you here today who have felt that kind of shame in your life, this kind of low self-image, Jesus says to you today, shake the dust off your feet and move on. "That is why I came here," Jesus says, "that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Let the Holy Spirit fill us up so that we might be the people that God intended us to be." The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, he says these wonderful words. He says, "Forgetting what is
behind."
Forget about those things. Yes, we've all had failures. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to
what is ahead,
I press on
toward the goal
to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Jesus is calling his disciples today more than ever. He's calling you and me to forget our failures and to press on for the sake of the good news of Jesus Christ. The message of the gospel, the message of the gospel is that you are championship material, that God loves you, and that Jesus died for you. Shake the dust off your feet. You are a potential home run hitter. Believe it. You are a real find. You are a joy in someone's heart. You are a jewel, unique and priceless. I don't care how you feel today. Believe this truth, because that is the truth of Jesus. It's like that young child who stated this great theological truth. You know, sometimes we look at all these highfalutin theologians. Here's a young girl. She had the most important theological truth for each one of us today. She said these words, "God don't make no junk." And God, my friend, made and is in the process of making you. Would you join me in prayer? Loving God, we thank you. Thank you that you're a God who doesn't want us to live in the past, doesn't want us to live in our shame or our failures, but is a God who says, "Let's find my forgiveness, brush the dust off, and let's move ahead in life." Lord, we know that each one of us here today have things in our past, things in our lives that we regret, things that have hurt us, things that have sometimes made us want to just go into a corner and hide. But help us to realize that you are there to lead us forth, to help us learn from our mistakes, to help us to find new ways of operating and to be positive people living for your kingdom each day. We thank you, Lord, for your love. And we pray all this, and all God's people said,
Amen.